Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya, Hemava Divyatsta Visundaraya, Tasmai Mahaprema Rasapradaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Sri Navadiptam Mahatmyam Ki Jai, Sri Navadiptam Parikrama Ki Jai, Shilamadavendra Puri Tirubhav Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai. So I'll read the chapter 6 first and then say something about the glories of Madhavendra Puri. Visiting Sri Ganganagar, Sri Pritukunda, Sri Shimantadweep, Sri Visramstan, and other places. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Satchiranandan, Jai Nityananda Prabhu Janava Jivan. All glory to the son of Sachi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to the life of Janava, Nityananda Prabhu. Jaya Jaya Sitanath Jaya Gadadhara, Jaya Jaya Srivasari Gaura Parikara. All glory to the Lord of Sita Devi Advaita Charja. All glory to Gadadhar, Srivas, and all the Lord's associates. The next day in the morning, Nityananda Prabhu left the temple with Srivas and Sri Jiva. Ramdas and other devotees accompanied them, and they chanted the name of Gaura as they walked. When the Lord came to the boundary of Antardweep, he showed Sri Ganganagar to Jiva. Nityananda Prabhu said, "Listen, Jiva, this is Ganganagar. It was established by Maharaj Bhagirath, a forefather of Lord Ramachandra. When the Ganga, who is known as Bhagirathi, came here, Maharaj Bhagirath went ahead of her blowing a conch. Arriving in Navadiptam, the Ganga stopped, and Maharaj Bhagirath saw that she would not proceed. Overwhelmed with fear, Maharaj Bhagirath retraced his course and came before the Ganga. He stayed in Ganganagar and began to perform austerities. Pleased by them, Ganga personally appeared before him. Maharaj Bhagirath said, "O mother, if you do not continue, my ancestors will never be delivered." Ganga said, "Listen, my child, O heroic Bhagirath, please stay here for some time. We have come to Navadip Dham in the month of Magh. At the end of Phalgun, I will deliver your ancestors. O Bhagirath, I am the water that washes the feet of the Lord. Here in his abode, I will first fulfill my own desires. The full moon day in Phalgun is the birthday of the Lord. I should perform a rite on that day. I will complete this rite, and then certainly I will go with you. Do not be afraid." Maharaj Bhagirath resided in Ganganagar until the full moon day in Phalgun. Anyone who stays in Ganganagar on the full moon day in Phalgun, bathes in the Ganga, fasts, and worships Sri Gauranga, crosses over material existence, as do their ancestors. Along with 1,000 of their ancestors, they attain Sri Goloka, regardless of how or where they died. O Jiva, the glories of this place are unlimited. Sri Chaitanya danced here many times. See there the homes of Gangadas Pandit and Sanjay Das, which are always filled with joy. O best of the wise, hear now about the glories of the beautiful lake to the east. It has now become known as Balal Dirgika, but it is described in many other ways during Satya Yuga. When Maharaj Prithu was cutting and leveling all the high and low places on the earth, he came to level this place, and an extremely bright light appeared in all directions. The workmen informed the king, and Maharaj Prithu came and saw the light. Maharaj Prithu, a Shaktivesh avatar, through meditation understood this place to be Navadweep. To keep the glories of this place hidden, he ordered, "Make a beautiful lake here." The lake he made, known as Prithu Kunda, became famous all over Navadweep Dham. How can I describe how much joy the villagers felt when they drank the pure water of this lake? Later, King Lakshman Sen excavated, deepened, and enlarged the lake. Desiring to deliver his ancestors, he named the lake Balal Dirgika after his father, Balal Sen. See there that large, beautiful hill? There stood the house of Lakshman Sen. It has since fallen into ruin. Various kings made all these ornaments at this extremely holy place to continuously accrue good fortune. Later, an uncivilized king desecrated this place, and thus the devotees do not worship it. The land in this place is pure, but fearing interaction with the uncivilized people, devotees do not reside here. Offenses were made against deities in this place, and thus devotees left. Saying this, Nityananda roared. He then came to Shimulya Gram. Seeing Shimulya, Nityananda Prabhu said to Jiva, "Know for certain that this is Shimanta Dweep. The sadhus call the island on the border of Navadweep and the southern bank of the Ganga Shimanta. In time, Ganga will completely cover this land, and only one pure place will remain. Hear now about how materialistic people will worship Parvati in that place, which is known as Shimuli. Once during Satyuga, the god of gods, Lord Shiva, was chanting the name of Sri Gauranga and dancing. Parvati asked him, 'Who is this golden lord? Please tell me.' Seeing your wonderful dancing and hearing the name Gauranga melts my heart. I have understood that all the mantras and tantras I have heard about for so long are simply misery for the soul. So please tell me about Lord Gauranga. Serving him, I will attain new life.' Hearing Parvati's words and remembering Sri Gauranga, Lord Shiva spoke to Parvati. 'You are Adya Shakti, the primordial energy and an expansion of Sri Radha. I will tell you the crown jewel of truth. This time, during Kali Yuga, Krishna will take the heart of Radha and appear in Mayapur in the womb of Sachi Devi. Radha Bhavaloye Krishna Kalite Bar Mayapure Sachi Garbe Habe Avatar. Kirtan Rangete Mati Prabhu Gauramani Bitaribe Prema Ratna Patra Nahigani. Maddened by his pastimes of Kirtan, Lord Gauramani will distribute the jewel of divine love without judging its recipients. O Goddess, shame on the life, enjoyment, and fortune of the souls who do not float in the waters of this flood of divine love. Remembering the promise of the Lord, I float in divine love. My heart has lost its composure, and thus I have left Kashi. I will stay in a hut on the bank of the Ganga and Mayapur and worship Gauranga." Hearing Shiva's words, beautiful Parvati quickly came to Shimanta Dweep. She constantly meditated on the form of Sri Gauranga. Chanting Gaura's name, she floated in divine love and her heart became unsteady. Eventually, Gaurachandra bestowed his mercy. He came with his associates and appeared to Parvati. His long form was the color of molten gold, and his limbs and the wavy hair in his head appeared very beautiful. He wore a dhoti tucked in three places, and a wonderful flower garland swung on his neck. Stammering in divine love, Gaurarai said, "O Parvati, why have you come here?" Parvati bowed at the feet of the Lord of the universe and with an unsteady mind explained her sadness. "O Master, O Lord and Life of the universe, you are merciful to everyone but cruel to me. O Savior of the fallen, you have engaged me in imprisoning the souls who are adverse to you. I perform this duty and manage the material world, but I am deprived of your infinite divine love. People say that Maya is absent wherever Krishna is present. Thus, I have become completely estranged from you. O Lord, how will I see your pastimes? If you do not make a way for me, I will be hopeless." Saying this, chaste Parvati Devi desperately rubbed Gaura's foot dust into the parting in her hair. Since then, this place has been known as Shimanta Dweep, though the ignorant call it Shimulya. Moonlike Sri Gauranga was pleased and said, "Sri Gaurachandra, O Parvati, listen to my words attentively. You are not separate from me. You are my energy and the goddess of all. My consort, my singular energy, has two forms. As my personal energy, you are Radhika. As my external energy, Radha expands as you. Without you, my pastimes are not complete. As Yogamaya, you are certainly involved in my pastimes. In Braja, you are eternally present as Purnamasi. And in Navadvip, you are present as Protomaya with Lord Shiva, the guardian of the Dham. Saying this, Sri Gauranga disappeared, and Parvati's heart became overwhelmed with divine love. Out of love for Sri Gauranga, Parvati remains here as the goddess of Shimantadvip, and in Mayapur as Protomaya. Saying this, Nityananda quickly entered Kazi Nagar with Jiva. Nityananda said, O Jiva, listen to my words. Kazi Nagar is Mathura. Here Sri Gauranga performed kirtan, delivered the Kazi, and gave him the jewel of divine love. He who was Kamsa during Krishna's pastimes in Mathura became known as Chan Kazi during Gauranga's pastimes. The Lord thus called the Kazi his uncle. Out of fear, the Kazi took shelter at Gauranga's feet. When Gauranga began performing kirtan, the Kazi broke a mridanga and made a disturbance on the order of Nawab Hussein Shah. Hussein Shah, the emperor of Goda at the time, was previously Jarasandha. He influenced the Kazi, who was his relative. In the form of Nrisimha, the Lord frightened the Kazi, and like Kamsa, the Kazi cringed in fear. The Lord then gave him divine love and made him a great devotee. Those who hear of the Kazi's deliverance are fortunate. See the difference between Braja and Navadvip. In Braja, those who offend Krishna attain static liberation. But in Navadvip, offenders attain the jewel of divine love. Thus, the pastimes of Gaura are supreme. Gaura's abode, name, form, qualities do not consider offenses and are adept at delivering souls. If offenses are present in the mind of a practitioner, Krishna's name and abode deliver them after a long time. Gaura's name and abode, however, immediately give souls divine love. Offenses do not obstruct them. O Jiva, see the samadhi of the Kazi, seeing it dispels sickness and sorrow. Saying this, Nityananda, smoldering with divine love, quickly went to Shankabanik Nagar. Arriving there, he said to Sri Jiva, see there the wonderful sight of Sharadanga. The name Sharadanga is also very beautiful. Jagannath resides there with the Sabaras. Previously, when a demon named Raktabahu was on a rampage, the Lord came here with the Sabaras. This place is non-different from Sri Purushottam Ketra, Jagannath Puri. Jagannath certainly resides here eternally. Then they passed through Tantuvayagram and saw the cottage of Kolavecha Sridhar. Nityananda said, here Sri Gauranga chanted, rested, and blessed the devotees. This place thus became known as Visramstan. You may rest here in Sridhar's cottage. When Sridhar heard of Nityananda's arrival, he came, prostrated himself, and worshipped the Lord. He said, O Lord, be most merciful to this servant and rest here. This is my request. Nityananda Prabhu replied, you are very fortunate. Lord Gauranga has bestowed his mercy upon you. Today we will rest here. Hearing this, Sridhar was satisfied. With great care, Sridhar collected suitable ingredients and engaged the Vaishnava Brahmin to cook. Once Nitai and Srivas had been served, Sri Jiva joyfully took their prasad. Sridhar laid Nityananda on a bed, and then he and his family massaged the Lord's feet. In the afternoon, Srivas took Sri Jiva and joyfully showed him Shashti Tirtha. Srivas said, listen, O pure-hearted Jiva. Previously, when the gods heard that Mahaprabhu would descend in Navadvip, Vishwakarma came to Nadia. To prevent the scarcity of water along the paths where the Lord would perform Sankirtan, Vishwakarma dug 60 large ponds in one night, the last of which he made in the village of the Kazi. Sridhar's banana grove is beautiful to see. See also the lake nearby. Mahaprabhu sometimes played in the water there and took Sridhar's bananas. Still today, Sridhar collects banana flowers and stems and gives them to Mother Sachi with joy in his heart. Near here is a place called Mayamari. O Jiva, see that it still exists there today. Please hear a story from the Puranas. Once when Baladev was on a pilgrimage, he came to Navadvipa and rested. At that time, some demons told him about a demon named Maya. Hearing of the havoc raised by Mayasur, Baladev furiously confronted him in a field. The demon fought with Baladev ferociously, and finally Baladev killed him. Since then, this place has become known as Mayamari. Today I've told you a very old story. This place is known as Talavan and Braja, and always appears before the eyes of fortunate souls. That night they stayed there, and the next day they continued on, chanting Hari Hari, Nitai Janavapara Chaya Jara Ash, Nadia Mahatmya, Kore Eidash Prakash. This servant, whose aspiration is the shade of Nitai and Janava's feet, reveals the glories of Nadia. Hare Krishna. So today is also very special. That is the Tirobhav, or disappearance, of Srila Madhavendra Puri. We have seen, as we are approaching Sri Gaur Purnima, that so many great associates of the Lord and great acharyas are appearing. We had Advaita Acharya's appearance, Nityananda Prabhu's appearance, and other great acharyas in our line, of course. But it has some significance as we, Gaur Purnima is so near, only a few days away. And that means that there's some deep significance in this day. And notice it is the Tirobhav of Madhavendra Puri, the time of his disappearance, because it was at that time this most heightened state of Radha Bhav, to be relished and tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared from his heart in the form of a sloka expressing deep separation from Krishna, which we know really is the internal purpose for the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But some Guru Maharaj once wrote an article called The Pontifical Position of Madhavendra Puri, because he's the bridge between the Madhva line and the Gaudiya Madhva Brahma Sampradaya. This type of Raga Bhakti was not expressed in that line prior to him. And Madhavendra Puri is so great that his disciples are Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Ishwara Puri, who initiated Nimai Pandit, Paramananda Puri, and I think Pundarik Vidyanidhi as well. These are his disciples. And that Madhavendra Puri, he was always moving in the plane of like lost, drowning in divine love, and visiting different significant holy places, remembering those divine pastimes, always lost in taking Krishna Nam, not making any arrangement for his own sustenance. If something comes to him, he takes that. If nothing comes, he doesn't take anything. And that's not something you can feign. Right? He's so absorbed internally that he has the least dependence upon anything external. So when he was in Vrindavan, he went to Govindakunda. We know that Govindakunda is significant in so many ways, particularly after the Indra Mohan, when we have Brahma Mohan. Remember in the beginning of the Navadvipa Dhammahatmya Vandanam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned Brahma praying for forgiveness for stealing the cows and calves of Krishna, not properly assessing his divinity. A Prakrita Leela. He's previously acquainted with Narayan, right? With that of forearm Narayan and Lakshmi Devi at his side, unlimited opulence, that a 5-year-old cowherd boy with a stick in his waist, playing a bamboo flute, food in his hand, eating with his friends, having a picnic on the banks of the Jamuna, that he would be Swayam Bhagavan. He was deceived. But happily, to contribute to Krishna Leela. And it's after that pastime, when he's offering prayers and Surabhi is there and they do an Abhishek of Krishna. They're with milk from Surabhi and then water from his elephant, Airavata. And that famous verse, so dear to Gurumaraj, Deve Varsati Yagya Viplava Vrsha Brajrashma Varshanilai. But last line is Priya Na Indra Gavan. He's saying, I'm Indra, the king of heaven, but really, you are Indra. Indra means king. You know, I'm the king of heaven, but you're the real king. But what type of king are you? You're Indragava. You're the king of the cows. And if you reverse Indragava, it becomes Gava Indra, or joined together, Govinda. So although that is one of Krishna's eternal names, as indicated in the Brahma Sangita, Anadiradya Govinda, still this is the pastime where the name Govinda is given to Krishna. And subsequently that kunda is known as Govinda Kunda. So Srila Madhavendra Puri, he's there absorbed internally. And a little boy comes from the nearby village and says, some of the ladies, they said there's some sadhu fasting here. And he said, in my village, actually no one fasts. So I've come here with some milk for you. And Madhavendra Puri says, oh, such a beautiful boy, And he's giving the milk to him. And he said, anyway, I have to go herd my cows. I'll be back later. And Madhavendra Puri, he's very exhausted suddenly that evening, and he goes to sleep, and that boy comes, but in a different form, and he can understand that it is Krishna, Gopal. And he's saying, actually, I am a deity, the deity Gopal, who is in this kunja nearby. There was, I am the deity of the grandson, Vajra, of Krishna. So since the time of Krishna, this deity was Krishna's grandson, worshipped this deity. He's saying, but the pujari was afraid. There were some, shall we say, yavanas threatening the sanctity of the deity, and the pujari thought, I need to hide the deity. So he hid him in the kunja, very jungly overgrowth, and fled. And so he said, so I've been in here for so long. I'm very tired, hungry, and I've been waiting for you, Madhavapuri. to come. How long do I have to wait? I've been waiting so long for you to come and do my seva. So Madhavendra Puri awakens and he's saying, oh my, that boy who came to me from the village, that was Gopal. So Krishna supplied that milk to him. And then he arouses the villagers, explains his dream, and all the people with Madhavendra Puri, they go into the jungle, Kunja, and they discover this beautiful Gopal deity, Giridhari, Govardhana Dari. He's in that posture. He's lifting Govardhan Hill. That's Govardhana Dari. And he's all covered in dirt and different things, but smiling. And then the man, just that they say these things shows you how charming these people, I mean, these great souls are, think who they are, who are enlisted by Madhavendra Puri. And one of the elder gentlemen says, this deity is very heavy. It will require several men to... So they're all carrying Gopal. And he's brought, they take a big stone slab, he's put the top of Govardhan Hill, and they put another slab in the back, and then they arrange an abhishek, the bathing ceremony with all the different ingredients, and then they're also putting oils to shine his body and make a beautiful radiant sheen, and they begin the so-called Annakut ceremony, which means they're offering so much bhoga, and it's Annakut, it means it's in the form like little mounds or like mountain-like representation, mounds of prasadam, right? And everyone is offering, everybody's cooking something. And they have this big celebration, and word spreads to the other villages about the beauty of this deity and the Annakut ceremony. So then each village, they start taking turns, like, we'll do the Annakut ceremony this time, we'll do the next one, and every village... All the people, they're cooking, making their offerings. People from far away, like Delhi, Mathura, other places there, who are wealthy, they come. How can we serve Gopal? They make a temple. They make everything look very beautiful. And Madhavendra Puri brings some Bengali Brahmins to do the Seva Puja. Everything's going on very nicely. And this goes on for around 2 years. And we're told, in the midst of all these mounds of prasadam, Madhavendra Puri doesn't take anything all day. At the end of the day, he takes some milk. But there's all that prasadam being distributed to everyone. And he can see that Gopal's eating everything, and it's mystically remaining at the same time. But he can actually see him eating everything. And that's, we were told that from the beginning of coming, to our godbrother Gopeshwar Prabhu, today's his appearance day. And he and I appeared in in the temple almost on the same day in San Francisco, May of 1971. And why did I say that? Because, what was I just saying?
The festival was taking 2 years.
Yeah, but there's a... Yes, and it went to everyone. Yes, and the people, the wealthy people built temples. And
2 years.
Oh, about, I'm saying, we were told within the first week of being there that Krishna eats everything. When we offer the bhog to the, he eats everything, and then it, we take the prasadam. But we will say from an objective point of view that we don't see it vanish. But the devotee, the devotional heart, can understand that Krishna actually eats everything, and then mysteriously everything remains. That's inconceivable. But we're told in this pastime, Madhavendra Puri would see Gopal take everything, and then everything remain at the same time. So for 2 years, they he conducts this anukut type seva puja, and then Gopal appears to him in a, again in a dream, and says, "Everything's going very nicely, but my body is still very hot. It hasn't cooled, even after the abhishek and everything, still haven't cooled down. So what I want you to do is go get first class sandalwood and camphor. And that best sandalwood now is available in Jagannath Puri. So go there, get the sandalwood and camphor, bring it back, put it on my body, and that'll reduce the temperature and discomfort I'm feeling." So Madhavendra Puri, although he's very old, and that's like, what is it, 1,000 kilometers, or I don't, it's a great distance. He's happily accepted this order. We know from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and one of his songs, he's saying, whatever appears to be a burden when it comes to seva, he said, that's my, the source of my joy. I don't think of it in that way. And we've all heard the expression, when something is referred to as a labor of love. So if anything can qualify as being the labor of love, it is pure devotional service. So Madhavendra Puri happily receives this order, and he sets out for Jagannath Puri. And along the way, we're told, he stops in Shantipur and sees Advaita Acharya, and that's where he initiates Advaita Acharya. We know when Mahaprabhu was in South India after taking sannyas, and he met Rangapuri, another disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who informed him about his brother Vishwaroop's having left the world. By way of introduction, Rangapuri is saying, when I was with Madhavendra Puri, we stopped in Navadvip. It was part of our parikrama tour. And there, he said, I'll never forget, at the house of one Sachi Misra, we had this mocha ganta that was, you know, like Krishna Prem inducing. And at that time, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's my mother. So I'm saying, we took prasad. We had prasad from Sachi Mata. So Madhavendra Puri going through Shantipur, and then he's making his way toward Jagannath Puri. And along the way, he stops in this village called Remuna. And there's the deity of Gopinath. And the seva puja of Gopinath is very beautiful. And one of the specialties there is they make a preparation for the deity. They call Amrita Keli, which is a type of kheer, which means like very condensed milk, sweetened, very condensed sweetened milk. And Madhavendra Puri, seeing their Seva Puja, he's thinking, perhaps I can improve the worship of Gopal. And he's heard about this Amrita Keli, which is not available anywhere, not made anywhere, only for this deity, Gopinath. And he's thinking, oh, if I could taste some of that cure, then we could employ that in the Seva Puja of Gopal. But then after the arati, sometime he goes away by his own, sitting in isolation, and he's thinking, because devotees are always engaged in atma samiksha, self-analysis. He's thinking, I'm telling them that I want to taste this for Gopal, but actually I want to taste this for my own sense enjoyment. What a despicable person I am. And he's feeling very distraught and taking the name in isolation. And that evening, when everyone is sleeping, Gopinath appears to the pujari and says, this Madhavapuri, he's a great devotee of mine, and I stole one pot of kheer for him. It's underneath my cloth, because every night they offer 12 pots of kheer. I said, I stole one and I hid it under my dhoti, and I want you to give it to him. And the pujari's like, thanks. As all good pujaris do, first he bathes and makes sure he's very clean. And enters the deity room and lifts the cloth of Gopinath, the threefold bending form of Krishna, lifts that cloth, and he sees there's one pot of kheer. So he, on the order of Gopinath, he takes that kheer and he goes searching, and he says, is there a sannyasi named Madhavapuri? Madhavapuri? And he says, you are the most fortunate soul, O Madhavapuri. And he finds Madhavendrapuri and says, are you that Madhavapuri? Yes. He said, you're so fortunate, Gopinath, he stole this pot of kheer for you. So then Madhavapuri, he's taking that kheer, relishing that. He's in a deep state of Krishna prema. So we're told tadiya, right? You know, tadiyanam samarjanam. What is dear to Krishna is most worshipable. And by extension also, tadiya means anything in relation to the Lord is also worshipable. This is the vision of advanced devotees. So for Madhavapuri, that clay pot that contained the kheer, it was also worshipable. So when there was no more kheer, he broke the pot, but carried it in the cloth, and every day he would take one piece of the pot and eat that. But he can understand that the pujari is telling everyone, this great Gopinath stole kheer for this sannyasi Maharaj. He's said he's such a great devotee, and Madhavendrapuri is thinking, then all the people are going to come and want to take feet dust and offer praise. Kanaka Kamini Pratishtha Bhagini. Srila Saraswati Thakur says, Pratishtha is like a witch. Only the neophyte devotee hankers for name and fame. Right? The exalted devotees, they're running from that. They know that this is the greatest enemy to pure devotion. So the idea that they would become famous for having devotion is the last thing that they're running from that. I was remembering putting on tilak this evening at Guru Maharaj. would sometimes say when Gurudev would come up with the tilak on, and Guru Maharaj would say, "My disguise." I mean, that's Guru Maharaj's humility. He's saying, like, "I'm not a devotee. I have no... This is the disguise to make everyone think I'm a devotee." That's how the higher devotees think. So Madhavendra Puri, he's in the dead of night. He goes to Puri trying to escape the name and fame. But they already hear in Puri, and he tells the pandas there the order of Gopal, how he discovered Gopal from dream, and the second dream where Gopal said to get the chandan, the sandalwood, and the kharpur, camphor, and they're all very happy about that. They're going around, because it's also Gopal's seva. You see how it's expanding. Now they're very eager to connect with that. So they're collecting chandan in the name of Gopal and getting the kharpur and everything. And they give it to Madhavendra Puri. It's around 30 kilos, approximately. And they give him one Brahmin and an assistant. And they're proceeding, and you have to go. They're crossing state lines. There are, like, immigration and customs people. They want to examine what are the contents, and he has some certificate. But also, they can see, they're charmed by his divine personality. And they hear of the seva of Gopal, and their hearts are melting, and they're affected. Right. Huh. The Bengali people cannot escape Krishna consciousness, actually. Once, Madhura Dyuti and I, we had to stop in Dhaka in Bangladesh, just transiting. And so I thought, this is an opportunity to preach. So I started preaching to the customs people there at the airport and immigration. And whatever I was saying, Madhura Dyuti kept, like, telling, listen to Mara, you know. And one customs man said, Who is this guy? Sakshi Gopal? Like, everything you say, he will agree to. But that's what, like, that's in his mind. Like, who's he? Sakshi Gopal? That means they know the Sakshi Gopal story. So they hear about Gopal, and their hearts are touched, and they're everyone cooperating. And then Madhavendra Puri, on his way back, he stops again in Remuna. And then Gopal appears a third time in dream and says, "Actually, Gopinath and myself, same, but different. Whatever you offered him, I will get. So if you take all the chandan and offer it to Gopinath, I'll get relief." But really, the word uses pariksha, which means examination. Krishna, he's sometimes examining the devotees, testing them to see what sort of devotion, devotional potential is in the heart. And when pressure is forced upon affection, what will happen? This can seem, from a superficial point of view, to be cruel. Sometimes people think, "Oh, Krishna, he's so cruel. Look, the Braja Gopis, they're so beautiful and sweet, and they've given everything to him." And as we hear that Bhangshivadananda, who's Krishna's flute, and saying, he's the one who gives the call for everyone to join in Krishna's pastimes. That means the flute sound. That's how. And Gurudev said when we were in Italy in that Monte Baro mountain. He said, like in a factory where they blow the whistle and then all the workers, they know to go. You understand? They go, doo, and then everyone like starts moving and doing things. He said, it's something like that. So Krishna makes it sound like, then all the devotees come to do that seva. I mean, after so many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes, they've achieved this position. How rare it is, we understand. Kshiti virala katipaye, the end of the Brahma Sanghita. Very few souls can enter that realm, what to speak of the innermost recesses of that world. And then what do we hear? I remember when finally getting to the 10th canto and the Rasa Leela and the flute sound and all the gopis come and then Krishna rejects them. And I thought, what kind of pastime is this? After all this time, and then they're rejected. And what do we hear? They bow their heads and the tears are smearing their mascara and falling upon them, and they're scratching the ground with their feet, and they're thinking, we have no love for Krishna, we have no Krishna prema, because we know if someone has prema, that will bring Krishna under control, and we're being rejected by Krishna. So for what reason did we leave our husbands, our children, our families, communities, and everything? What was that all about? Ego-driven, we have no love for Krishna. No prema gandasti dharapi mehuro. And Krishna vanishes, plunging them into the depths of separation, and we think, how cruel is Krishna? But then Vishwanath comes to our aid and rescue and says, Krishna's thing, he wants to enjoy rasa lila. And he's thinking, if right on the verge of Rasa Leela, if he vanishes and plunges the gopis into the depths of separation, their hearts, what sort of divine substance will appear from their hearts when this sort of love and affection pressure is applied upon their love and affection? And then, from the depths of their separation, my guru says, yena mam upayanti te. If at that time he then reveals himself, or the other one, gyanati vena vasvata. If he will then reveal himself to them when they're feeling separation to its most intense degree, then what kind of a rasa lila will that be? So he's bhava grahi janardana. He's addicted to gopi bhav. So why did I say that? Before that,
how cruel is Krishna?
Ego-driven. Oh, apparently cruel, by keeping himself separated from the devotees. In this section, in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, Madhya 4, perhaps, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj says that if you can feel Krishna Viraha, separation from Krishna, he said, that is the success of life. And sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj alludes to, this is our problem, is not feeling disturbed by our present apparent situation of being separated from Krishna. But fortunately, it's from that position that we can make our approach. So, Madhavendrapur, oh, Krishna testing the devotees. That was the point, pariksha. So we think, he's testing even such a great devotee as Madhavendrapuri, testing Radharani and the Braja Gopis. So here, Madhavendrapuri happily took this task, the seva. Then Krishna's thinking, I don't want him to experience any inconvenience having to carry all this all the way back to Govardhan. And besides, Gopinath and I are inconceivably one and different. So they arrange the men, they're making mounds of chandan every day floating all over Gopinath and offering the camphor. Everyone's very happy. And upon the completion, Madhavendra Puri, he goes to Jagannath Puri for some time. But it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having taken sannyas, who told this story in Remuna on his way to Jagannath Puri, stopped there with Nityananda and the others, and he told this story saying, I heard this from Ishwara Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And he says to Nityananda Prabhu, is there anyone more fortunate than he? And both Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, they're very much appreciating this and praising the unparalleled greatness and glory of Madhavendra Puri. And then Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, well, at that time also the pujari provides out of the 12 pots. He offers the Mahaprabhu, who keeps 5, the other 7 are left. So for Nityananda and his party, they're taking the Amrita Keli, and the deity is to this day known as Kirchor Gopinath, right? The Kir Stealer. But then Mahaprabhu, he begins to meditate deeply upon the sloka that appeared from the lotus mouth of Srila Madhavendra Puri just before his leaving the world. And it's introduced by Kaviraj Goswami as the supreme sloka of rasa kavya. That means rasa, poetry, literature, etc. The supreme sloka. He said, as the Kostuba money, the Kostuba gem is the supreme gem among jewels. Among the many jewel-like slokas, this is the best. And he said, and only Mahaprabhu could appreciate this after Madhavendra Puri, and there isn't a fourth person. So 3 means Radharani herself, it came from her heart, from the heart of Srimati Radharani. At the time of his disappearance, it manifested from the heart of Madhavendra Puri. So the Prem Ankur is there, the seed of Krishna Prem. And Mahaprabhu is relishing this sloka repeatedly, crying, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, sometimes laughing uncontrollably for hours, singing, dancing. And that sloka is Ayi Dina Dayadranata He Maturanata Kudava Lakshase Hridayam Twadaloka Kataram Doyata Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. And it's not for us to try and explain that. If it's not a fourth person can understand. But it is about separation. That we can say in the most superficial summary form, that Srimati Radharani, Krishna's in Mathura, and she's feeling deep separation from Krishna and saying, how can I go on in the world without seeing you. And if there's any message in there for aspiring servitors, is that this very point is how we go on pursuing Krishna consciousness, apparently separated from Krishna, or without seeing Krishna in that way. Srila Guru Maharaj would sometimes say, if you can honestly, candidly say, after so much endeavor to make progress in Krishna consciousness, that you have achieved nothing, you have nothing to show for it, right? That you are not Krishna conscious, you have not become that thing, what you pursue. He said, but you have no other shelter and no other interest, nothing else to pursue. He said, then you might just be a devotee. Devotee is a very high thing. That's the sort of intensity and fidelity that is expressed there. That in separation, to have no other shelter, no other goal, no other target. And after hearing all of this description about getting the chandan and rubbing the chandan, Kaviraj Goswami says, like chandan, like sandalwood, when you rub the sandalwood, gradually the essence is revealed. The more and more you rub it, the more comes out. He says, the more you carefully consider and meditate upon this sloka, the more is revealed. But for those who have made sandalwood paste, I can tell you, it's not very easy. It requires some effort on your part, a lot. And that's interesting as well, because Srila Guru Maharaj said that through self-dissipation, the inner golden self comes out. Sometimes devotees are worried. They think that their energy is being used in service and Krishna consciousness, and they may not understand that that's a very fortunate position to be in. It's not something to resent. Or that you're giving your life, yourselves, your energy, your time and service. Guru Maharaj calls it self-dissipation. Just like that sandalwood stick, when you rub it, gradually it goes down and down and down. It's all converted into this divine substance, divine essence. So we have some accumulated energy. If we offer that in service and self-dissipate, it means the external self will dissipate and the internal self will be expressed. That's our intention. So these are not mere stories to make us happy, but they're full of instruction that's practical in our devotional lives. It's what we aspire to. Today is the Tirubhav, the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri, because it's at that time, just before his leaving the world, that this was expressed from his heart. And that appears in the fourth chapter of Madhya Leela in Chaitanya Charitamritam, just after Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, is significant. It's not incidental. He left, having taken sannyas, saying, Kahan Krishna, Kahan Prananath, Brajendra Nandan, Kahan Karun, Kahan Pan, Brajendra Nandan. Oh, Murali Vadan, Kahan Krishna Prananath, Murali Vadan. Where is Krishna? the first book we made for Srila Guru Maharaj titled The Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. Sad Goswami Astakam, He Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kutaha. Where are they? They're searching. That is Gopi Bhav. They're searching for Krishna. It's the search. That means that Krishna is apparently not visible. But through that search and that searching tendency yields very deep remembrance of Krishna. So that when Krishna mercifully reveals himself to the devotees, it will be appreciated to the extreme. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Madhavan Rupuri Tirubha Mahamahotsavatiti Ki Jai Srinavajitam Mahatmyam Ki Jai Srinavajitam Parikrama Ki Jai.